Let's face it, being a pastor or leader in ministry is a difficult job. Life in ministry can get chaotic. Well, today we speak with a guest who has plenty of experience with this and now has some refreshing ideas to help. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Mike Gray.
Michael Gray is with us today in for Steve Lacy. We'll get into why Michael is here. Steve usually is our co-host, but he bailed on us. But actually, there's good reason Mike's here, and we do appreciate Mike. Mike does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff here at StreamingChurch.tv and Church Solutions Podcast. You're doing a great job posting a lot of the clips, Michael. I mentioned that to you earlier, but it's so if you don't follow us on social media, folks, you can follow us on LinkedIn. What is it? StreamingChurch.tv on LinkedIn, and we're on X, StreamingChurch.tv
on everything. So wherever you Facebook, look, you'll find it there.
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram. So you'll see some of the clips we've had on our podcast, as well as some of my stupid posts. So today is episode number 470, and normally I talk about a webinar coming up, and by the time people hear this, we'll be coming up on a webinar in May, and we're going to do it on our digital ministry, our X tool, and we'll talk about that later. But you can always go to streamingchurch.tv/resources, and you can see all the stuff we got, and we have a lot of resources. This is the Church Solutions Podcast, but streamingchurch.tv is our main product. And if you go to streamingchurch.tv/resources, you see our webinars we've done, which are always involve ministry and churches. And of course, past podcast here at the Church Solutions Podcast. We have a blog. We have all sorts of things. We'll even fix your car if you need help on that. And I'm not kidding about that, actually. Well, we don't have it on the website, but Mike's a great mechanic, and Steve is too, and I tend to break things. All right, so we're killing time here. We need to get to our guest. Let me put my glasses on and read his bio. By the way, Mike, do you hear anything right now?
Yeah, I hear you.
What do you hear? Okay, but you don't hear any water running, quiet. Do you? You don't hear any water
running. I don't hear your lovely fountain.
Yeah. Brandon.
Poke a hole in it finally?
Yeah, well, I'm actually getting a digital switch for it.
All right. So
anybody listening who doesn't know, I have a water fountain in my office, and Steve Lacy hates it. So, and I don't think Mike likes it either. So I actually shut it off this time because I got tired of all the flack. All right. Today's guest is a trained spiritual director and president of Signpost In Ministries, and which helps Christians lift their gaze from life's chaos to experience Jesus's loving presence. He's earned his BA in philosophy from Hillsdale College, and he's got an MA in historical theology from Concordia Seminary in beautiful St. Louis. He has over 25 years of ministry leadership experience in apologetics. That's interesting. I didn't know that. And also Christian education and now spiritual formation. He's a father of five. He's a family trauma survivor and is a self-professed recovering anxiety addict. I can relate to that. He's also the author of two books, Not Home Yet. I was going to say Not Home Alone. Not Home Yet and Changing the Conversation. I like that. So please, folks, welcome Brandon Booth to the Church Solutions Podcast. Brandon, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. And gosh, you guys, did I hear 470 episodes?
Yeah. We've done them before. We were counting them. I mean, all sorts of ways. We've done live ones as well as recorded ones, and this is recorded, obviously. But yeah, we've done a lot. We had a lot of fun doing it, and we've met a lot of great people. And
thanks for having me around. I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys.
Well, good. We're glad to have you here. So I'll just start things off. You know, in the bio, you talk about life's chaos.
Yeah.
And life's chaos, very hectic and chaotic for everybody, especially involved in ministry. So yeah. You've got a ministry here that helps Christians. First of all, I got some questions here, but I'm just going to get off script here and ask, what motivated you to even start this?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, before we started recording, you were talking about sabbatical. Mike, right? You were talking about your sabbatical times.
Yeah.
Well, in 2019, right before COVID happened, I actually went on a sabbatical myself due to that reference I have in my bio about family trauma. It took me out and anxiety, the whole thing. And so I had this emergency sabbatical time. And then COVID hit. I was out for a year on sabbatical. And so when COVID hit, I was already on a sabbatical, so it was great. I had the best COVID of anybody because, as far as I was concerned, once people started shutting down, I was like, join me. I've been out of the society for a whole time. But during that year, really did a lot of soul searching, really did a lot of talking with God, a lot of arguing with God. And I've been in apologetics ministry for 20 plus years by then. I've been working in, you know, a lot of the chaos of life, the cultural stuff, trying to help kids think clearly. And honestly, for me, my knowledge about God and my experience of God were so disconnected that year was where God really worked on my heart and did a lot of crazy things for me, where it was, hey, what you know to be true about me, you're actually going to learn to feel as being true about me. And that happened about halfway through my sabbatical, as I've been talking to God. And then I'm coming out of my sabbaticals talking about, well, what do I do next? And it became more and more clear I wasn't going back to the ministry I was coming from. And my wife and I are taking these long, long walks every morning, talking and praying. And it just starts to blossom. We're like, look, we can't be the only ones who are feeling like life is insane. We can't be the only ones who feel like everywhere you go, it's just more demands. And people have got to be slipping through the cracks like us. And we have long wanted to be a place of refuge. My wife, who co-founded the ministry with me, she's big. She's my hospitality, everything. She loves to make space for people. She cooks food. She's just this beautiful presence of welcome. And so together we're like, well, we want to start a ministry. We've wanted to do it forever. What would it look like? What would it be? And that's where this image comes of this inn at a crossroads. And everybody's at a crossroads in life at some point, most of us all the time. But wouldn't it be nice if there was a place, just there it is, the door's open, the light's on, you walk inside and somebody says, hey, I'm glad you're here. What do you need? Do you need some bread? Great. Do you need a dinner? Great. Do you want to sit in the corner and just be left alone and let somebody take care of you? Fine. Do you want to talk? Wonderful. So between my wife and I, that's how it works. She's the one that makes the space and says, you're welcome. Let me make you comfortable. And I'm the one that sits down and says, what do you want to talk about? And frankly, that has been growing for us. That's the ministry. It's like, look, life drags you away. Life distracts you. And everything in this world is trying to distract us. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a space where somebody can sit down with you and say, let's take some deep, slow breaths. Let's pause. And then ask the question, where is God in this? What's he wanting to do next? So I like to say this. I don't have the answer. I don't know where God wants you to go. You're at the crossroads. I don't know what the next step is. But I love to sit down with you and discern with you, listen with you, pray with you. That was huge in my life, and it's been huge in a lot of other people's life. So that's the idea. We just see this need for people to take a break from it all and maybe listen to God.
Yeah. Michael, jump in here. You had a sabbatical and you had a good experience when you were in ministry.
Brandon's story sounds a little bit like mine. I was a pretty chill guy, but I got to a point where I was, didn't realize it yet. I was pretty toxic and I had a panic attack after a meeting. And I was like, what is this? I was already going on sabbatical. And so it facilitated me going to a different place that does a very similar approach and really was dramatic kind of unpacking and perspective and all of those pieces that I needed that I didn't have.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad that so many of the guys in ministry that I know don't take sabbaticals until they've had that crash like I did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we would love to change that. We'd love people to start taking sabbaticals or breaks or engaging in other things that can help you slow down well before you have the mental breakdown. I heard it said really well that a sabbatical really is for reflection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we so often these days, reflection and connection to God, but so often right now, so many of us in ministry end up using them as recovery. And I think you'd have less of that. You'd have less need to have a year of recovery if you've taken some more regular time for space and reflection.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's so important. I did have the last church I was senior pastor in. I did surround myself with some great people who were ministry leaders, different parts of that tri-state. I was in Kansas, so there was a tri-state area there, and they did suggest a sabbatical to me, and I said, I can't. How's the church going to keep going? You know. So, what would you suggest, Brandon, when somebody like me has that response? Was I can't afford to take a sabbatical? The church can't afford to not have me there. You know. Yeah. What would your response be to that?
So, yeah, I saw this great comic a while ago, and it was a pastor talking to one of his parishioners, and he's saying, I just can't take a break because the devil never rests. And the parishioner says back to him, I think you need to get a better role model. And I found that as like, it just betrays, like it shows us where we are, right? It's like, I can't take a break because my church won't survive without me. Well, I want to say this in the kindest possible way, knowing that I have said this myself many times. What does that say about how God cares about your church?
Mm.
What does that say about your assumptions about how you can't trust God for your own needs? And I'll just say this too, like, hey, if that's you, join the club. You know, like all of us struggle to believe that God's going to take care of it if we step away for a while. But I think that's the first thing I would say, is just maybe take a minute to examine your assumptions there. I had this great, we had a retreat. It wasn't a pastor, but it was a young lady who came to the retreat. And she is in this hustle culture all over the place trying to make a living. She barely could make it to the retreat because it was like, I can't take 3 days away from my life. What's going to happen? Or 3 nights away. The spiritual practice she did was the first full day she took a nap all afternoon. And she came back crying because she's like, look, I discovered that God was waiting for me after I woke up from the nap and the world didn't end. And like, she knew that. But to have experience it. So I guess I would just say, hey, pastors, one, at least question that assumption. And then two, maybe start small. Maybe you don't need to take a 3-month sabbatical. Maybe you could take a weekend away and mm-hmm. see what happens. Yeah. It's a little easier to go for 2 days than it is for 3 months.
Or a year. Some guys take a year. Some guys take a whole year.
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah, whatever you do, I think it's from my perspective, don't you think that we get to a point where we feel like we can't leave, but we're maybe only at 50% of effectiveness or whatever number that is for someone. If you could step away, even if it's 3 days, you're going to increase that number by a large amount by taking that time.
Yeah. And I think that's,
I think that's Sabbath, right? Is there something about a Sabbath in the Bible?
Right.
I think.
That goes back to that role model thing, right? Like Jesus frequently, I mean, we often miss this in scripture. The scriptures literally say Jesus frequently went away into the mountains or into the wilderness. And he just disappeared. There's times when they didn't even know where he was. Mm-hmm. And I think in our minds, we think he's out there. We assume he's out there fasting and doing all these ascetic things, but he was actually going away with his father, who said, "This is my beloved son," to be restored. Because his work, his ministry was so hard, he needed to go away and have somebody minister to him. So he went away and let God the Father minister to him. And I'm going to poke pastors just a tiny bit here. Isn't that what you want your people to do? Don't you want your people to turn to God the Father, to Christ for their dependence? I would recommend modeling it. It's a great way to it's a great way to get them to do it.
Yeah,
I know, absolutely. It's hard.
It is.
But that is, yeah.
It is. And knowing where to find somebody like your organization is what I found to be a tough as well.
Yeah.
Tons of places to go, but when we almost need a brochure. Here's 100 places to go when you have a sabbatical or you've got a long weekend that you can do something to recharge.
Yeah. And you want it to be a good fit too. But so, you know, let me shift gears a little bit here. You know, we're a company, we work exclusively with churches. And so we do pound people a lot, if I can use that term, to do digital ministry and make sure you're doing, you know, marketing. And I know there's a lot of our people that are our clients and work with us, and, you know, use our company, the stream and mobile apps and all that stuff. I know a lot of them are smaller churches. And I know that there's a pressure, you know, on this because they don't have a staff. I mean, we're fortunate here with our company. They have somebody like Michael that does a lot of the stuff for us and juggles a lot of things, by the way. But you know, a lot of times these guys or gals pastoring have to kind of do it themselves, you know, when it comes to content marketing. And we do hit people to do that. You really need to get on social media, and we try to be nice about it. What advice can you give them, you know, about this whole thing about, you know, being a content marketer, you know, you're trying to juggle everything.
Yeah. I really resonate with that. For me, running as a ministry, I'm not a pastor, but as running a ministry, I'm doing the same thing, right? I recognize the need in today's world. That's where the people are. If you're going to connect with them, you got to get out there where they are, and they're on their phones and they're on TikTok. They're on all the social, that's where they are. So I get that. But it does become overwhelming. And here, from my experience, here's my biggest thing. It's to decouple your sense of identity from your success in that arena, right? That arena, social media especially, but it is so easy to get caught up in the how many views do I got? How many likes do I got? How many people have signed up for my email? And you can know in your head that that is for a purpose, and that doesn't mean you're successful. Because the ministry, you know, it's really what I want is those people here so I can touch them personally. I can talk to them. I can do the ministry. But man, it entices you to say, I'm doing better because I got more numbers. I'm doing worse because I have less. And to internalize that as, well, that must be something about me. So that's the first thing I would say is to slow down. Take a step back. Where does your identity, your significance as a pastor come from? It doesn't come from how many people you've preached to. It doesn't come from how many people are following you on Facebook. It comes from Jesus, who says, I love you and I've called you to this work. That's what makes you valuable. Then you can turn around and say, okay, I can give that out much more freely and kind of care, you know, do the work, but not put so much invest so much of my identity into those numbers.
So, yeah. So it's not about the numbers. Like, oh, I got 25 likes today, or I didn't. I only got 5 likes today on my posts. So what you're saying is get away from, don't be attached to all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And and I would also just point out that I think for ministry, right, what we want is for people to have an authentic relationship with God. But it's worthwhile recognizing that we humans fallen in our fallenness, we don't actually want that in some sense. There's a part of us that wants to avoid that. We'd much rather have the soundbite. We'd much rather have the self-improvement advice because it keeps me a nice comfy layer between me and God. So it's also like thinking about using your social media, your outreach to do the ministry. That's hard. I don't even know if I've cracked that nut myself, but you guys might be the ones that can really help here, but can I use those platforms which are sort of designed to not have authentic relationship to actually establish authentic relationship? Can I find ways to use them to really connect with folks and do the work that I want to be doing? But again, I think you guys are probably the ones that probably know how to do that better than I do.
I'm not sure that anyone has successfully cracked the getting my relationship digitally versus getting it in real life. Because one, as you said, it'll get you charged up. Oh, I'm doing good because I got this platform to be more successful in some way. Mm-hmm. And you think that's relationship. But in reality, you're right. It's not. It's not a real relationship. The real relationship is in a building, or even if we transition to a phone or a text or a something real with another human being.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's not real relationship. I would just say think of it more like how do you use it to draw people into deeper relationship, right? Because I do think there's a lot of good ministry that's done over social media. I think it really can be done well, but you just have to realize it's not that medium, and the business model wants you to measure it by numbers and quick viral things. And I'm sort of working against that to use it to draw you in deeper to more connection.
Well, and this is an overused word, but authenticity, right? I mean, I mean, what if somebody posted, I'm having a bad day today. You know, pray for me. I mean, that would be more authentic, right? And that would be more real, probably, because we all experience issues like that from time to time. So, yeah. So I think being as real as you can without the glamour or without the, you know, the bells and whistles. Let me talk. I want to get back to what you do here. Signpost in Ministries. Where are you located? And tell us about Signpost in Ministries.
Yeah. So I'm in Canyon City, Colorado, which is a rural little town close to Colorado Springs. So we're not too far from there. Most of our work is sort of nationwide. So I do spiritual. We do three main things. I do spiritual direction, which is sort of like spiritual counseling. And I do that in person and over Zoom. We do retreats. We have a couple locations here in Colorado. In fact, we've got a retreat coming up at the end of this month, a couple weeks. I'm not sure when this is releasing, but at the end of April. So we do three-night retreats in the Colorado Rockies where we take people away and help them. We don't have a lot of content. It's more about supporting you and spending time with God because, again, back to I don't have the answers. I'm more interested in your connection with God. And then we also do a bunch of content. So we have our own podcast. We have our own newsletter that we really are trying to do that mission. Give you content that's deeper than just advice. It's more about turning your attention to what God is doing and the practices around that. So, yeah, spiritual direction, retreats, and a lot of content. That's what we do. All surrounded around that idea of really turning you to Jesus.
Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I was just going to suggest or say, are you guys affiliated with any particular denomination? What are you?
Yeah, we're not specifically affiliated with any denomination. I happen to be you can tell from my background, a Missouri Synod Lutheran. I'm sort of on the conservative side of the Lutheran models. I don't know what people know about that, but we're not specifically for Lutherans or anything like that. We are trying to be a welcoming space for folks that from all denominations. But it does give you kind of a picture of where we're going to come from. So if you looked up our statement of faith, I have the Nicene Creed up there and that's it. We're pretty simple.
Okay. That's Mike, great. I didn't want to cut you off. Michael and I don't always do these, so I always feel like I'm cutting you off, Michael.
That's all right. No, I was just very reminiscing about that area. I used to travel through Canyon City to just about every hike I ever did. And then we did a hot spring somewhere near there. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
It's surprising that you've been through Canyon. There's very little reasons to come through here unless you're on the road to the hot spring or the Royal Gorge Bridge or some hike somewhere.
Yeah. Beautiful area, though. I really love that area. I lived in the Springs for about 15 years.
Yeah.
Went to Bible college there, and it's a gorgeous area to come and decompress.
Yes, very much so.
If I come, can I take my Jeep?
Definitely. Oh, man. I had a Jeep growing up. It was so great.
Yeah, Michael and I both do
Phil off-roading. And I need to get you back into that then, because it's for me, that became one of my outlets.
From mine too.
My retreat was you need to spend some more time in the seat of that to get your head clear and really decompress and experience God.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely in. Let's do it. Jeep tour.
We are serious. We might just take you up on that. All right. So we are starting to run out of time, but I want to give people an opportunity to get a hold of you, Brandon. We're talking with Brandon Booth here. And I think what you do is so important. And you do it not just in person, but you can do it with Zoom and those kind of things as well. So what is, I mean, do you charge? I mean, you got to make a living, right? So, what do you charge or give us a little bit of that and then some contact information.
Sure. Yeah. The best way to get a hold of me is just at our website, Signpost Inn, and that's INN, like the inn at the crossroads, signpostinn.org. It's all up there. Spiritual direction is great for pastors. I think I have several clients or directees that are pastors. I think especially for pastors who are stuck in spaces where it's so hard to be vulnerable in your congregation because you can't be really. It's hard. You need, and spiritual direction is not having somebody who's your guru. So it's, I think, again, for pastors, it's really helpful to have somebody who's just a friend that's trained to listen really well. Somebody who, I like to say, it's like a spiritual director is somebody's whose job it is to bear another's burdens.
Mm-hmm.
Without judgment, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. We go to God together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Signpostinn.org. I do charge for spiritual direction. It's $85 per session. However, we are at 501c3 ministry. The vast majority of our income comes from people who donate to us. So that is that rate that I charge for spiritual direction. If you can't pay it, I have people who will take care of it for you. If you need it, we can do a sliding scale, all kinds of things. So we're not interested in making a buck here. We're interested in making sure people get connected with Jesus.
That's wonderful. But you do need to, you got to feed your family. So yeah, but that's wonderful. No, it is wonderful that you guys give that option. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. Okay. So, signpostinn.org is the website. Brandon Booth is the guy to talk to. Anything else here, guys, before we wrap this up?
I'll just, if you don't mind, just throw a plug in for my own podcast if y'all are interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have Signpost In podcast. Just search it anywhere. It's everywhere. We're tackling stuff like this all the time. So it's meant to be a great resource for you.
Well, maybe you could have Michael on or an old guy like me on, and I can tell you all my experiences too. So, but...
We'll dedicate an episode to Jeeps or something.
There you go.
Talk us off the ledge. Literally.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Good. Okay. We're out of time. This has been wonderful, Brandon. We really do appreciate having you on today as our guest. And we appreciate Michael Gray joining us again, who's normally behind the scenes around here. And of course, people listening or watching the Church Solutions podcast, depending on what platform you are on. Thank you for being with us today, and be sure and subscribe to the Church Solutions podcast. And look, if you want to get a hold of Brandon, you've missed all that, you can always reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. So there you have it. My name is Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.